Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We began last Wednesday in our last prayer meeting, our most recent series of doctrinal sermons on the doctrine of faith. And so we began last week with something of an overview, something of a bird's eye view of the whole doctrine of faith in a nutshell, if you will. And what we'll do this week, and Lord willing, if we are spared next week as well, is to go on to then break open this biblical definition of faith that's given to us in these opening two or three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And then after we have done that, then we'll go on to then break down each of the components of the doctrine of faith and expound them and apply them more generally. But let me begin this evening with a question. What is your concept of the nature of faith? I began last week with a different type of question. I said, have you ever heard someone say such and such? And I gave examples of the misuse of the doctrine of faith. But if I were to ask you yourself, what is your conception about the nature of faith? You would have to hold that up against the backdrop of the answer that so many around us, living in our neighborhoods and working with us and people that we know, the answers that they would give. And many, perhaps the most popular one, is that faith is set over against reason. And so the idea is that faith is either non-reason or faith is beyond reason. And this is different than the popular notions that I highlighted last week. Though people will say, we know a lot of things, but when we can't go any further, we rely on faith. And so they distinguish knowledge, even knowledge of the truth, from this subjective disposition of faith. And this is clearly not, as all of you will recognize, this is not the biblical teaching on faith. The biblical teaching on faith does not teach this sort of dichotomy between believing and between a knowledge or a reasonable knowledge of truth. Faith, that is, the Bible teaches us the notion of faith that is reasonable and that provides the foundation for all that is reasonable. So biblical faith is reasonable as defined by the Bible, and biblical faith provides the very foundation for all rationality, for all intelligent understanding. And so last week we looked at something of an introduction, the kind of the big picture, and what I want to do this evening is to begin looking at this definition given to us in Hebrews 11 and then come back to it again next week. There are many that go on living by faith without understanding what it is. You think about a baby. A baby lives without understanding what life is. You can have little toddlers and they have life and all of the components that make up life, but they don't have an intelligent understanding of what life is all about. And so there are many people, even truly converted people, the Lord's people, who do believe, but who have very little understanding about what it means to believe. And here the author to the Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, comes alongside us, as it were, and instructs us in order to assist us in understanding more clearly what faith is. And so we're going to look this evening just at that first phrase and seek to expound that first phrase. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And that can be translated in various ways. But it carries with it the idea, as we'll see, of anticipating the future, even. And so let's consider three things together. First of all, certainty of our hopes. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we begin with the certainty of our hopes. The word substance can also be translated realization. And so there's the realization of things that are hoped for. The convincing demonstration, the present realization of what we hoped for. He's saying that's an important component of what faith is, this firm expectation. You look back at how hope is described in Hebrews 3, verse 14. It says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." This is the whole idea of what faith is, this confident or firm expectation. And so living by faith is living under a certainty of all the things that we hope for. Faith gives our hopes a present, actual being. So if you go to John chapter 8 and verse 56, John 8 verse 56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." What does that mean? Abraham lived 2,000 years, you know, before Jesus was writing. How is it that Abraham saw Jesus' day and was glad? Well, if you go to Hebrews 11 and you continue reading through the chapter, you see that what is intended is he saw with the soul, not with his physical eyes through some sort of, you know, being transported through time in a time machine, but he saw clearly what God said in his revelation and understood what God said and believed it and rejoiced in it. You think about how the psalmists pray so often, "Deliver me." There's the prayer, "Deliver me," and then coupled with that, "He has heard me." And so there's this certain sense that the Lord will do the things that he has promised to do. Faith is the ground of hope. It believes and expects. And so faith gives such certainty to what we hope for. It's as if it already actually, we already actually enjoyed it. That's the idea. It doesn't place reliance merely on what is visible and merely on what is physical, what we can see and what we can touch and what we can taste and so on. But it puts its full confidence upon what God in his word has told us about things that are not yet visible. God himself, the soul. And the fact is that no one actually sees physically with their physical eyes the future. No one sees physically the future. And yet the Christian is able by faith to so rest in what God has revealed about the future as to see it, if you will. To be so confident in the expectation of what the future will bring. And so we haven't gone in a time machine to see the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ, for example. But we have seen it through the pages of Scripture and therefore have a confident expectation of it. And it's as if we've already enjoyed the sight of it. So is the nature of our faith. And so we know with certainty what awaits us because God has told us. You know, we were hearing on the Lord's Day about the doctrine of creation. How do we know what happened at creation? Was a scientist there to observe it and to record his findings? No. But God was there, and God recorded what took place, and he's given us that record in the Bible, and therefore we can know absolutely, with absolute certainty, what took place in those 6 days. And if we cast our eye the other direction into the future, it is the same. We know with certainty what will happen with regards to some things in the future, because God has told us in his word. And so this is the kind of faith that enables the Christian, one who's living by faith, to endure all manner of difficulty. The Christian can look at the seizure of property and look at abuse and other things, being made fun of or even being physically beaten, can look on those things with a radically different perspective than those without the Lord Jesus. So Romans 8, verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." The Apostle Paul was flogged, beaten with rods, whipped. He was robbed, he was shipwrecked, he had all manner of affliction. And yet he can say, I know so certainly about what is to follow that I can say that the things I'm suffering now are not even worthy to be compared with the things that I'll enjoy later. And if you look at the whole chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, you see a list of those who lived with future confidence. Moses looked and saw Christ, Hebrews 11 says. He looked to a city made without hands, a heavenly city, and they were anticipating the future of what God had promised to bring to them. Well, how does faith provide a present reality to what we hope for? It brings us to our second point, which is the possession of our hopes. Faith takes possession of what is hoped for. It takes possession of what is hoped for. In other words, hope sips the cup of blessing, thereby producing joy in us. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, listen, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You don't see him, and yet believing, you're able to possess what you hope for. You can rejoice now with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. In other words, it's delight in something when you have it. And faith gives you joy in knowing that we have right now what we hope for. Faith takes possession of what is hoped for by standing on the promises of God. And so you can think of the promises as, the promises are like a title that's given to you. Or the promises are like a deed to what is ours. So, for example, I have a title to my car. And, my car might be stolen. Or my car, I might forget where I parked my car. Or there might be some other circumstance where I'm separated. I'm visiting in California. My car is at home. That title shows that the car belongs to me. And this is what the promises of God are like. It's like a title or deed, which show us that we possess these promises. Faith enables us to rejoice in what is ours. The promises are the testimony of God's love and grace toward us, the warrant for our certainty. How come faith can be so certain about what's hoped for? Because the promises of God have been given to us. God has made himself a debtor to us by his promises. He says, I am faithful. That means God is guaranteed to make good on his own name and word. And so he is debtor to us in that sense of being obligated by his own character and nature to do the things that he has promised to those whom he's given the promises. He's faithful and able. And so faith rests secure because we have everything in having Christ. Faith possesses what is hoped for in the first fruits because God has given us so much in giving us the Lord Jesus. We're brought into union with Christ. And in being brought into union with Christ, we have the joy of the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance of faith. We have grace now. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it's like the spies who went into the land. God said, I'm giving you the promised land. Well, there was no doubt that they were going to possess the promised land because God said it. And God cannot lie. And yet what happens? They send the spies and they come back with clusters of grapes and other things. And they say, here are the first fruits of what is ours. You can see it. You can smell them. You can crush them and drink them. You can eat them. This is a foretaste, the first fruit of what God has promised to give us, the whole land. And so faith gives us this possession of our hopes. It is the substance of things hoped for. But then thirdly, there are the benefits provided by faith. the benefits provided by faith. And this is just applying, if you will, the things that the principles, the doctrines that we have just sought to lay down. Benefits provided by faith include, as we have already noted, present satisfaction. It's not as if God says, someday you'll have something, and that it's just this dry, rash, purely notional, conceptual thing that's on a computer screen somewhere. God gives us present satisfaction. We're able to enter into, by faith, the satisfaction of those things. That means God gives us strength. God gives us support in giving us faith. Faith supports and strengthens all of the graces of our spiritual life. And so faith is what increases sorrow for sin. Faith is what increases our love for Christ. Faith increases our love for the brethren. Faith increases our sense of peace. Faith increases the ability to have patience under difficulties. Faith increases the fruit of kindness, and so on. It enables us to suffer for the Lord. And so 2 Corinthians, you see this being described in vibrant color. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here's faith at work in this regard. Chapter 4, the end of the chapter, 16, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see the same thing in the example of Stephen when he's being martyred in Acts chapter 7. Verse 56, "And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." It enables us to suffer for the Lord. It enables us, faith, that gift of God given to us, Christ, the object of our faith, enables us to do the will of God. So the previous chapter, Hebrews 10, verse 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." It enables us to do the will of God. It enables us, under the influence and dependence upon the Holy Spirit, to engage in mortification and the killing of sin by the Spirit. It enables us to have our eye set on heaven above. It enables sin to have less and less power over our heart. Romans 8, verse 13 speaks in that regard. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And so there's this, the fruitfulness of holiness, the perspective of our soul, things that would otherwise seem distant are near to us. Things that would seem otherwise far off, we have the substance of those things by faith, the substance of those things hoped for. Philippians 3 and verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That which is distant is brought near. And so there's strength in trial. The Lord sweetens our afflictions when we engage in those things by faith. So the question is, does faith influence your hopes? Does faith affect the trials and temptations that you face? Does faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, bring present satisfaction in your Christian walk? The Lord gives us help in stirring up faith to be the substance of what is hoped for. How is it that the Lord helps us? Well, He gives us the means. He gives us meditation, for example. Contemplating our hopes as described for us in Scripture. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And so we reflect upon what God has said in His Word. We take those promises and we meditate upon them. We sip from the cup of promise and we savor it. And our mind runs to those things that we value. And we have a growing, deepening anticipation of these hopes. We use argumentation. We argue with ourselves, don't we? We ought to argue with ourselves in a sanctified way. We ask ourselves, don't I have a promise with regards to this particular thing that I'm facing? Hasn't God spoken? Isn't God faithful in these things? And we wrestle to overcome the obstacles within our own sinful, erring hearts. Do I not have Christ? Isn't He mine? Is not heaven my inheritance? Hasn't God already lavished me with the first fruits? What are those first fruits? Hasn't He provided for me all the grace and more that I could ever need? He's withheld no good thing and no comfort from me. And so we argue to bring our erring, unbelieving minds under the domination of God's promised word. We have expectation. We look for it. We long for it. We wait for it. We pray for it. What happens? You know that there's a special event. Family's coming whom you haven't seen. Or you're going to go see family whom you haven't seen for a while. And there's cousins or aunts or uncles or grandparents or grandchildren or others. Or there's some other event that you're looking forward to. You anticipate that. You look forward to it. And your heart and mind and emotions are aroused. You long for it. And you wait for it. And you pray for it. And this is the disposition. There's a cultivation of expectation. What God has said, the substance of things hoped for, we apply it as well. We consider the word preached. We consider the means given to us at the Lord's table. And we take all of those things. And we don't just let them sit as it were on the surface of our hearts. We take them and we bring them home. And we take them into our bosoms. And we apply those things to our hearts. And we see this has a pertinence to, this word has a pertinence to this aspect of my life. And so we make faithful application of it with God's help. We ponder the past. We ponder the past. Pondering the past often or many times makes what is to come or what is even present easier. We look back as the Old Testament people did over and over again, having raised an Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. They were always setting up monuments and memorials to remind them that in a low ebb and in difficult circumstances and in trials and in so on, when they are hard-pressed to believe God's word, when they are overwhelmed with temptations toward unbelief, they could look at those things and say, ah, look at how God has dealt with us in the past. He has always been faithful. He has always confirmed Himself to us. And so our faith is quickened and strengthened. And we can compare the hopes derived from God's word with carnal hopes. The hopes that the world substitutes. And when they are compared, it's like looking at all of the bounty and all of the scrumptious delights at a meal that's spread like on Thanksgiving Day and comparing that to the poultry, you know, things that are fed to animals and other things. And we say, well, there's no comparison between these things. The world comes with all of its carnal hopes, but it's garbage, it's trash. It's to be thrown out or fed to animals in comparison to all the banquet and bounty that God provides for us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. We have a certainty. And we also have a possession of those hopes. May the Lord help us as we reflect upon this facet, this aspect of biblically defined faith for the Christian who is walking by faith. Let's stand together for prayer. O Lord our God, we come thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, as we remembered last week, the object of our faith, the one who fills our eyes and the eyes of our soul and our hearts and minds. We're thankful for His Word, the promises of His Word that come to us, which we lay hold of by faith, which we believe, which we build our lives upon. And Lord, we ask that You would give us certainty in this Word, and that You would give us a sense of our possession of all that You have promised and spoken to us. Lord, grant that we would be seeing the indispensable value that faith has within the life of the Christian, and grant that You would use it for our being built up in the things of Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.